welcome to another episode of the Hinted Neuron Podcast. I'm still your host, Kelvin Pascal, and it's nice to be doing this again. I know that I have been away for some time now, but that's because of grad school and the many responsibilities I've had to take on in the past few months. But really, it's been an amazing year. I think I did a couple episodes sometime in the middle of the year, and you know, they were very good. I talked to really good, amazing people. But I hope you all are doing great and fine. This was going to be a wrap-up episode for the year, and I talked with Tobore. It's always nice to talk with Tobore on the podcast, and we had a nice chat and some reflections, and you know, just looking back at the year, trying to be thankful and grateful for everything that has happened. And we really just vibed. You know, I've learned a new word. I think I learned it from Trevor's podcast. It's called Liming. I think is what people in the Trinidad and Tobago say. I think, if I remember correctly, they call it liming. You know, I just limed. Me and Tobore limed on the podcast, and it was amazing. So thanks for listening, as always. Thanks for supporting. Thanks for people who actually send me messages, thanks to the people who send me messages, and thanks to people who read my blog. It's been an amazing year of writing. I wrote a couple of things this year, and people really loved it. And it's nice to see that, you know, you put out stuff, even though it's painful to create anything, and people like it, really. Same with this podcast. So I hope you all are having an amazing time. I hope you had an amazing year, and, you know, looking forward to doing more next year. So that's it for me. Enjoy the podcast. And we are live. Tobore, thanks for coming on the podcast again. So nice to have you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me so soon, Kelvin.
it's been great. I think we've been talking about doing this for a while now. It's nice to finally have the time to sit down. You know, it's really, like as we were saying earlier, it's been a busy, eventful year. And, you know, and I know that it's just like so much happened, both for me and for you. And it's just like, sometimes it's hard to find the time to actually sit down to do this recordings. You know, I started the podcast in 2020, and in the last 2 years, I've not been very consistent with it, but I always like, I'm really excited whenever I get a chance to get time to sit and do this. So how are you doing? How's your weekend been?
I don't know. I had like all these plans. I was going to go to the movies. I was going to go and take walks. I think about all of these things, but then I end up being just in the house. I stay in bed. So it's just like one of those weekends, regular weekends for me. Just being in the house, movies, talking to friends, and just spending time with you, I guess. So,
yeah, what kind of movies have you seen lately?
I saw Jury Number 2. I don't know if you saw that. It just came out, and I thought it was an interesting watch. That was the last film I saw. And I'm seeing Maria on Netflix, the one where they had Angelina Jolie. That's what I've been watching.
Yeah, myself, I've been mostly binging old shows, you know, some of my old comfort shows, the ones that make me feel warm inside.
Don't tell me Breaking Bad.
No, Breaking Bad. I actually haven't seen Breaking Bad, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's boring, but I don't know. Maybe it's just my taste, because it just wasn't given.
You know, as a person who does science and who is around scientists a lot, Breaking Bad is one of the best shows that everybody talks about.
Okay. I mean, it's a guy that sells, you know, how does that help science, Kelvin?
I don't know. People are just obsessed with it. If I remember correctly, the woman who won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry, I think in 2022, mm-hmm. She said that was her best show, I think.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
Anyways. So, yeah, don't worry. Happy for you. You started graduate school in the US, I think in August, right?
Yeah, and it's been a ride. I knew that we've unpacked much of that on like a lot of calls, but it's really nice because like when I came to the US in 2020 and I had some of my own experiences. Sometimes I actually wrote an essay on my blog, which aka a letter, which was sort of addressed to you in some ways, kind of. I guess that was a compressed version of my own experiences, but I kind of would like to hear what you think about the place so far, where you are, and what it's like.
Yeah, first of all, I still read a letter. I share the letter, with anybody because I it was beautiful. And I remember reading that in Nigeria, and I remember tearing up. There's this part of the letter where he talked about me being able to like live in my truth and like come to a society where people just are people. That really got to me, and I was like, hopefully I come here one day. And but I'm glad to be here. And again, thank you for that letter. It was beautiful. But as far as I'm concerned, for me, I'll talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think it's, my experience, it was in what I was expecting, to be fair. The first time I stepped into this country, I think, I know this is, I don't know if it's unique to me. I think you said that or someone else told me the smell that I inhaled was coffee. Maybe it's airport thing. Did that happen to you, Kelvin? Just inhaling coffee and heavy smell, I don't know. But that was like my first, did
Yeah,
I experience that?
not necessarily, but I agree with you that that sometimes airports do smell like, I traveled a lot this year, and then it's just like, yeah, I had that sense of like, yeah, this place kind of smells like coffee because America runs on Dunkin'.
Yeah. Well, that was the first thing that I, and of course, I was in this, I stopped, we, my first stop was Washington. And I remember being on a train and being the only black person there. It was such a surreal, I was like, wow. And I realized that America is a very white place. Like, people don't tell you that it is. They, you're watching TV from back home, you're, drawn to black culture, pop culture, I don't know, rap and all that. And you see all these black people. But I think I was humble. I was humbled when I, just saw how white America happened to be. So that was like my first, one of the things that I noticed. But other, there's I cannot overemphasize on that. This place, it's not just the things you see, how beautiful it is, and like all these beautiful buildings. I think even the people in this country, there's a sense of orderliness that we don't talk about enough. And I don't think that maybe it's probably where I'm staying. I wouldn't speak for every part of the country, but for the most part, people know their place. They know how to be very respectful. They understand the sense of space. They understand, so living in a place where people see you as people, they just recognize you as a person. So I think it just really feels sort of, it's less stressful. You don't have to be overly stressed here, at least for the most part. It's a place where everybody's, as you are. People just respect you as a person. Respect, it's so back home, we don't have those things. I mean, walking.
I kind of want to unpack that in the sense of maybe why there is that contrast in the sense of, say, growing up in Nigeria, living in Nigeria, as Nigeria is more or less a communal kind of society. People are in everybody's in everybody's business, that kind of stuff. And then it's just like, of course, it's more focused on social things, communities, and all that. I don't know if that plays a role in. I don't know. I know this is just one aspect of what you were talking about like people knowing their place and being ordered, and like I in a sense that orderliness in some ways, is in certain type of it shows it manifests itself as individualism sometimes, but like I don't know if there's that like mapping to be made. Is that like is there a connection there? Well, the US being a more individualistic society, which is why people still mind their own business. And in Nigeria, which is a communal society, you know, it's hard for people to kind of behave in a way that's isn't like too clingy in some ways. I don't know if that's, I don't even know. I think I'm rambling, but that's what's in my head. Yeah,
I get that. And when it comes to like the individualistic aspect of this country, I obviously have experienced that too. People really be minding their business. You know, I think it takes a lot for someone to, at least for me. Now you're going through something, people would, you know, be there for you, you know, only to an extent. I think everyone has their issues and everyone has to, they face what they have to do. Because again, it goes back to how this order is being kept. If you go out of the line, if you don't do what you need to do, if you do something you're not supposed to do, you break the order and then chaos begins to happen. So I think even though there's like this, you know, it's the part where people are minding their business, you know, doing their thing. But then when you come to, you know, like for me, for example, I had like some issues that I hopefully would unpack, you know, later on this podcast. But I wasn't really feeling, it felt bad in a way, because people, I wanted people to, you know, be there for me, but then they have things that they have to do. And you have to understand that everyone has what they do. Everyone does what they do. But I think that's for that. I think when you come here, you would see that if you don't do what you need to do, you'll be left behind. If you do what you need to do, you'll be ahead. It's just very simple and plain. At least that's how I look at it. But yeah, it's just, you know, being in a place where things work. And when you talk about respect here and respect back home, it's not the same thing. And I don't know whether I would actually pick the respect that we have back home to this one. Because back home, as long as someone is older than you, you know, you have to just let them speak to you in a certain way and keep quiet and not say anything back and just take and take and take. Because just because, not because of what that person has to offer, not even whether they're being polite or not, just because they're older than you, you have to take all of these things. As opposed to here, I'm working in a place where my boss, you know, respects me. It's, I was talking to somebody, it's not a joke. They're obviously older than you, you know, they are higher in terms of whatever, and they still acknowledge you. They still would not talk to you any type of way. They'll let you say what you have to say. They could have conversations with you, like, as opposed to, you know, so I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder what, I'm not trying to resign, but I'm saying that it's just, I would just take this over one where as a person, you can't speak because someone is older, but that's outside the point. But anyways, coming here for me has been quite interesting. I love otherness. I've always been someone that wants things to be how they're supposed to be. So fitting, I was able to fit in almost immediately. It is a beautiful country. America is obviously blessed, you know, there is everything you need and more. And I feel like when you have a job that pays you, you know, when you just, you'll be okay. Everything is just your job. You have a house. There's everything here you need to, you know, to do what you need to do. And people are also nice, you know, here. You know, remember when I came here, I was trying to navigate, I have been stopping people and asking for directions and all that. They always want to help. It's just, you know, when it comes to the people, at least it has been quite positive so far. Hopefully never experienced racism since I came here. I talk to my people back home, I call them, I miss home so much. Food, I still eat what I eat. I'm just like eating what they eat here. I don't really know most of, but I'm still like, you know, but that's, you know, so far when it comes to my life and people around me.
Yeah. Talking about food, I tend to think that Nigerians are not very exploratory in terms of like food. Like Nigerians just like love what they love and don't like try to explore some of the like cultures. I don't know if this is necessarily true by and large, but like it's a kind of observation I've made in some ways that like, well, Nigerians like, yeah, I only eat Nigerian food, and if I can't find it, I'll cook it myself. Well, it's because like every other stuff doesn't seem appealing to their taste buds. I don't know if that's the same sentiment you share.
Mine is even worse. I believe that. We have the most amazing food in the world. Nobody comes close. That's what I believe. I'm trying to eat. There's something about just our food. Maybe it's how it tastes. I don't know. It's like maybe I'm being, but I just think we'll have the best meal. Like everything is, I couldn't try to eat outside. What I would never love it. I don't know. Did you get used to, did you like something outside? Did you fall for any dish here that is in your Nigerian?
I do enjoy a wide variety of like foods from different cultures, like Mexican food, South Asian, like South Indian cuisine. And then, yeah, I mean, the burger is not so bad anyways. so far it's not bad. Like, of course, like there are things that kind of just taste bad, like McDonald's, you know, but like, so far I don't find it disgusting. I don't mind eating it, to be honest.
Well, I haven't, you know, I still eat. If it's not, I go to African stores here and I buy what I need and I cook back home. That's, I'm not gone out of mine. Maybe it's just I'm still new here and I'm just trying to be safe because I don't want to eat anything that would upset my stomach. But yeah, it's so far it's been okay. I love America. I do. I think that it's I've not been to everywhere, obviously, but maybe when you say it's the best country in the world, maybe it is. I don't know. Probably is, I guess.
Yeah, speaking of cultures, I guess, I don't know if you're up to date with the current cult, like the, I guess the current things happening on Twitter. By the way, I deleted my Twitter account. I finally had to leave. You know, the platform became very toxic. And which, you know, I love Twitter because it was a place for me to get updated with cultures and like the new cultural thing happening or like the information society and all that. But I just realized that the platform itself has become a place where it just brings out the worst in almost everyone. And, you know, I really do not want to be part of that, you know, and that's why, you know, simply I just felt like the platform brings out the worst in almost every single person that is there, and it just becomes a place to fight all the time and not for like meaningful dialogue, but for talking over one another. So I was like, you know, of course it has some positives. That's where some of the biggest like cultural conversations are happening. But still, I just cannot deal with the platform where, you know, and everybody talks about it. You go on Twitter, you start to have a racing heartbeat because something riles you up. So, you know, I was like, yeah. And it doesn't feel so bad. It's been almost, I deactivated it in August and it's been a while now. So I don't think I'm missing out on much, really.
So how do you know about what's going on? Because that's like the number one platform if you want to like get news on like
everything. Yeah, it's I still like I'm on Hacker News is a more conversation focused forum for like stuff like news I care about tech news called like tech news. If I want to stay abreast on like culture, I listen to podcasts, and you know, I also talk with friends. Which, you know, it's kind of hard to escape something that is important, really, because I'm still on other social platforms in some ways, and the biggest news still come there. You know, the biggest things from Twitter still come to this platform, so it's kind of hard to escape the important news sometimes. So,
yeah, I think you're right about Twitter being overly toxic, and like obviously Elon Musk with the whole monetizing thing, everyone is trying to farm for impressions and they post all these things just to rile people up. But I think that's how I deal with things when it gets too much for me. I just know how to probably close it and just go away from it, because when I go away from it, then I'm done with that. Like I just go and do something else. And I think it depends on, again, who you follow. Because I follow a lot of sports. I like sports a lot, and you know, queer things too, and movies. So I see those a lot. You know, most of these things, when I see them, I don't want to engage. I just move away from it. That's like what helps me. But I can see how social media can be overly toxic. And even me, I sometimes use it to the point where I'm also being, you know.
Yeah. You know, these days I've become more interested in things that are open, like open architecture, open source, decentralized forms of technology. I don't know if you've heard of Blue Sky or Mastodon, yeah. Which are sort of like decentralized spaces. So the whole idea of some of these things, like especially what they call the Fediverse, is that you know now you have Twitter and you have your social graph on Twitter, all the people you follow and all the people that follow you, which is your social graph on that platform. Imagine if you know just the way you send emails, you use Gmail, someone else uses Hotmail or Yahoo, and we can still talk to each other. Because we can still talk to each other if I'm using a Gmail and you're using Yahoo or Hotmail or whatever. But you know, social media wasn't built in that place where, you know, it wasn't built like email, where different email providers, because I'm using a different email provider, I can still talk with you on a different email provider. So social media was so built in an isolated way. So on Twitter, I can't talk to someone on maybe Instagram.
Do you think that's doable?
So yeah, okay. So the new idea for the Fediverse is that you on a social media platform, you can easily communicate with other people on a different social media platform, you know, irrespective of who the main social, you know, media provider is. And then if you want to switch, say Twitter is becoming too toxic, you can easily take your social graph from Twitter, move it to another platform, and, you know, so it becomes decentralized in that sense. And so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't give one company or one platform a monopoly on like social landscape.
I guess, but then what if those people, those toxic people, still follow? Like, you have to meet them. Because it's good to, like, for me, I like that I can go on Twitter. When I'm on Twitter, there's all these things that I see here, all these people. And when I go maybe a Clubhouse or any other place, it's just another thing entirely. So I don't know if it's going to mix people up easy, you know, easily. Is that what it does?
So yeah, you're talking about Clubhouse, like, because like, say you have a Twitter account that could talk to Instagram, that could talk to Clubhouse, that could talk to, so you're going to not have that like diversity maybe. I think that's one of the flaws that you probably would, like, you know, just the way people like, put barriers around yourself based on the social media platform they are in. Like, maybe I'm a different person on Instagram, mm-hmm. or I'm a different person on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, now you're just one person that can talk to, you know, there's no editing of yourself based on the platform you're in, I guess. Well, maybe that's one flaw. But I still like the decentralized nature of it, the sense that you own your social graph and you can move it to any platform that you would want to move it to.
Yeah, I guess we'll see, because I hadn't heard of that before, but I guess that could be fun.
Yeah, that's what Threads, I don't know if you... if you have a Threads account, the stuff by Meta, that's what they're trying to do, and, you know, and integrate it into the Fediverse and Mastodon and all that stuff. And it's also what Blue Sky is trying to do with their own platform, but they run a different kind of protocol, so it's not the same as the Fediverse in that sense. But really, it's interesting to see what this kind of ideas will look like in the next 10 years, or how social media will be shaped in the next few years. But yeah.
Well, do you think you would go back on Twitter, or you're done with Twitter?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, something really these days, I've been thinking about technology as like these kind of powerful systems and platforms. Technological systems are kind of owned by some of the biggest and powerful people in the world. And the way we allow that to happen, or why we're allowing it to happen still, you know, I just become very sad about the outcomes of like what's happening, like why the best useful technologies are in the hands of, you know, not the very ethical people, not the most ethical people in the world. And, you know,
do you think that's like a, it's just a human flaw? Do you think it's, because even on Clubhouse, for instance, it's fighting, we're fighting there every single time. What do you think that's the first thing that happens every time humans go somewhere new or anywhere at all? It's just always, we just want to fight. Why is liking one another not the, why can't we, why is that not a thing?
No, I mean, it's not probably, it's probably not, I mean, it's probably just the way it could be the incentive of the platform. If the platform incentivizes, if there's an incentive to do that, because you're going to get more views, more likes, more reactions and stuff, then there's an incentive to behave the way, you know, like, there was a time when, you know, savagery was just like the norm on Twitter. If you have a very savage, funny, sarcastic tweet, then you're going to have so many likes and stuff and quotes and retweets. And then, you know, in that case, you become popular. So people are like optimizing for this kind of savage behavior so that they can grow popular. But if you see somewhere like Instagram where, you know, people always say this, that like, oh, people on Instagram are kind of like warm and they show love, but I consider they're like more aggressive. So it just depends on what the platform, yeah, you know, gives incentives to. Because if there's a platform that doesn't, if there's a platform where there's no incentive to behave that way, you know, if there's no incentive for behaving that way, then, you know, people that wouldn't become the norm. If you look at somewhere like Blue Sky, which is just a new thing that's, you know, becoming really well used today, there's no incentive for people to become mean to other people because of likes and retweets, you know. So, you know, then it doesn't become the norm. It doesn't become what people are optimizing for.
Yeah, because I was seeing, it's, I could list like five, you know, top five social media platforms, and it's the same thing. And I think Blue Sky is relatively new, so we're still not, people are still not, because I don't want to go on Blue Sky. It's like I'm on Twitter. I don't want to go on Twitter 2.0, or it's, and there's also another thing that I also, and we're just talking about social media, it's, why is it that when it comes to like all these social media new whatever, there's like no actual new fresh idea. It's like almost the same thing, but you're changing the name, you're changing just one.
Yeah, but you know, that's why I think the Fedverse is a fresh idea in some ways. But I mean, it's still like the kind of thing, the way we interact with people is still the same. Like the same kind of look and feel of maybe Twitter or Facebook is the same. But it's just like there's a different kind of technology that runs it underneath. And a different way that there's just a different protocol on how things are being managed, I think.
Yeah, I guess. Because when Clubhouse came, at least for me, it was something that I'd never seen before. Like, to have that, you know, audio, it was really good. It was so smart, you know, very creative. I don't know if there was something like that before Clubhouse came? An audio kind of platform where people would speak and just, was it something like that
before? I don't think that kind of existed in the mainstream. It was probably on Discord. Oh. Discord was a place where people could gather and talk at the time. So
was the audio quality nice?
The quality on Discord has always been good.
Anyways, I hope that you go back on Twitter when you're ready, because sometimes I go there to get news. I get it to see what new movies coming out, news about Nigeria, news about everywhere. It's just a whole rich, that's what I think, at least for me. And also, yeah, but it's fine. Anyways.
Yeah, speaking of news, I've been in some way become disillusioned to this idea of like 24-hour news and information stream. Because don't worry, if you think about it, like there's a time before now where we just weren't getting news all the time. So, I mean, I'm not like trying to do, of course, we could do a contrast of which is better, the time when we didn't get news all the time, or the time when we get news every single second, like there's always something happening. So it's like, it means that we can actually live full lives without knowing the new information as it comes up every minute. You get, so I in some way I've become disillusioned to this idea of constant news stream every single minute. So
I think I worry about the things that we never heard of because no one was there to report it.
Yeah.
We didn't have the time. Imagine stories that were lost. Imagine stories that were too mundane to talk about, but, you know, they could equally be as interesting. I think I'm glad now that anything, you deserve anything, people, whatever it is, you get to see those things. I'm glad as to how we're moving. And I know Elon Musk could be something else. I mean, he talks about wanting people to be the news. He wants people to be media. And I think that's the best kind of, you know, news. I don't know if that's true, to have people report these news. You don't have to be any, you know, newscaster or whatever. Just hear something, you put it out there. You hear something, you put it out there. And that's how we get all these stories. I think I would take what's going on now, as opposed to, because then they pick and choose these things. There's no time. There's a lot of things to talk about. You pick the ones that are important to you or to push your narrative and all that. So I'm really glad as to, and again, I wouldn't want to watch the news, Kelvin. I'm sorry. I found it very boring to watch one man or a woman speak. I was like, oh, my dad want to watch the news. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to watch news in that way, even till now. I want to go on Twitter and look at things and people type things and people comment and argue. That's how I want to get my own. That's what appeals to me. The other ones or the other forms of it, it's sort of boring. Anyway, it's just, that's just what
I, yeah. I think I agree with the sentiment you're sharing. It's like, there are a lot of news and stories and information that we wouldn't get to see if it was just like left in the hands of like mainstream media. You know, the typical example here, I guess, is NSARS. That a lot of things that happen in that case, we wouldn't see because they would be undisclosed or they would just be shut down. And it's like media companies are sort of like a trumpet for the ideas of the people. You know, they use the company as a trumpet for their own ideas, their own ideas and their own beliefs. And so it's like kind of biased in some ways. Yeah, I totally agree. Still, it's just it's just this pro and con thing. And now it's like, oh, now we have all that, and then we have much of all this information and stories. It now becomes hard to filter. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's more hard to filter because we are being pushed things that we don't necessarily want. Because if you think about it, I can say there was a time where I only see stuff from people I choose to follow or people I can, you know, actually curate what I want. But now it's hard to curate because you're being recommended stuff all the time, you know, and it's just like even things you don't want to see are coming your way because whatever the algorithm that they use to recommend things to you would definitely just keep bringing stuff, and it's like it's hard to curate stuff. So I think for me, a vision I think I want for, I guess, no, something I really would prefer is something that's curatable. You know, I can curate what I want to see and curate what I want to hear. And in that case, I don't like, you know, start to get fed random things just because it's interesting or because it's viral.
Kevin, I have a... Because then, again, like someone said, that whoever controls media sort of controls the narratives as far as the world is concerned. That's, I remember reading that somewhere, and it's not a joke. So would it be better to have... Again, America was... it's even till now, even though we're still trying to... Most of the news you see, be it on Twitter, on TV, I don't know about what's going on in Poland or what's going on in, you know, I don't know, Burkina Faso or I don't know, there's just all these popular, powerful nations that then it was just their story. Like, nobody would know about other places. And so I'm wondering, like, is it not now that we're able to know about those people that ordinarily, just by picking up your phone and making a video of something you see going on and putting it on this social media platform, and I see it from my little corner somewhere, wherever I am, I think it's even bringing the world closer. I think it's making you, then people pick what you want to, you know, listen to. They pick the news that they think you should be listening to. So I would say that it's now that people are, it's all this, you can even have all these varieties to pick from and, you know, whatever, it's all these options to pick out of, as opposed to before that it's just what they want you to see. So I think it's the other way around in terms of how you can't really pick what you want. You know, I think now you can decide, you have all these options, and then as opposed to before where...
No, I'm saying, yeah, of course you can decide. It's just more, you know, there's just like all these things and you can, you know, it's just more, my own, I guess the con of it is just, it's just too much sometimes. It becomes too much, too addicting and like too overwhelming, you know, and it's just more, now that all these things are out there, if there's a way I can curate it to my own taste of like, okay, this is what I want to find, or this is what I'm interested in, then I sort of like, you know, opt to, you know, find it myself, not necessarily that it's being pushed to me. But then again, there's a flaw there in the sense of like, oh, maybe I will never get to know certain things because it was not shown to me in the first place. But still, but really, I mean, it's just this problem I have with attention and attention and the way it's being grabbed from me or people, you know, or people like me, I guess, who like social media, I love the internet, but still it's just like this battle of not being on it too much to do something else, you know, and stuff like that, which is why I don't like to post. So I don't put Instagram or Twitter on my phone most times because, you know, I don't want to end up, you know, scrolling or, you know, doing random things that I will end up feeling like, you know, that make me feel like I wasted time, you know, stuff like that. So, but I don't know, but you make good arguments. It's just this problem I have with attention and how we can solve this crisis of attention grab that social media like brings, you know, the word of, was it the Oxford word of the year? It's brain rot, and you know,
No,
it's brain rot, and it's like you know, there's so much truth in that. There's just so much rubbish out there, and you know, rotting our brains. To be honest, you know, we're scrolling too much, rotting our brains. You know, I want to like write an essay of 3,000 words. And someone would tell me that nobody's going to read it because, you know, nobody has time to do that anymore. If they're, you know, because I read articles of 5,000 words. So it should be, I think that there are people who are out there who still like value long form stuff, not just like short form content that because it's exciting in the moment and stuff like that. So I don't know. I just have a problem with that. That's just my own bias. I really love the internet and all that it offers. I love the stories. I love the stories that I have seen and witnessed. If, you know, things that I wouldn't get a chance to see if these platforms did not exist. And, you know, it's a really beautiful thing. You know, connections from different parts of the world, the friends that I've made, the people that just randomly DM you from different parts of the world. I mean, it's nice, but I just still, and I know that this is a problem, that's a global problem now, just this whole attention thing. I don't know how we're going to, you know, people are already making memes that in the future, you know, the way someone stops you to ask you for a cigarette is the way somebody might stop you to ask if they can scroll for a bit.
That's
enough talk about social media, really. But really, really interesting digression there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've necessarily found any kind of communities where you are right now.
I was gonna talk about that. I just like haven't found my people yet. And I think, you know, I think that that's probably one of the reasons why I'm glad that I'm taking this other huge leap, step, because I just thought I was going to find people that would, you know, get me, and I'll get them, and I'll find them interesting enough. Not saying that these are bad people, but I've just not found people that would vibe with the things, or to the things that I like to do. Because I want to go out, Kelvin, I want to like hang out with friends and, you know, go places and see new things. And I want to do those things, whether alone or with people, but I like to, you know, do things with people, at least if I want to do things, because I'm usually very shy and all that. But I've not found that yet. And when you tell me you're going to hang out with a friend, or I'm like, ooh, how do you do that? How did you, you know? Here, I've not really found that. But I'm going to put myself out there, and hopefully, because people are busy, you know? People are really busy. There's no time. There's work. There's school. There's work again, and then there's school again. And there's just really nothing, you know? I'll just say that I've experienced so far, you know, what I saw, what I'm seeing now, what I thought I was going to see, it's not really how I thought it out. And you didn't paint out these things to me, though, because you didn't talk about how lonely you yeah. talked about. I don't know that you talked about how lonely you could get.
I would say I 100% understand this theme that you're describing. It's like some days you just like, it's really hard to build community here, especially as a foreign person, you know, a person who is so different, you have a different accent or you have a different type of, you know, orientation. And it's just like hard connecting with people and finding people that are going to like include you in their plans, you know, bring you, make you part of their circle, make you part of their own community, because I think that in some ways it's just one person willing to include you in something that you start to become seen or become like part of something. And, you know, and it's something that I realize, and like, because especially it depends on where you are. In some places you're kind of like the minority of, you're kind of like in the minority there, like maybe as, you know, minority in your skin color, minority in gender or anything, I don't know, but like it's very hard. I wouldn't say that I have like a clear advice on what to do, but I've realized that in the 2+ years I've been here, I realized that one has to just be very intentional about like trying to just go out or trying to ask people, do you want to do something later? And like not be, because I realized that like I'm of course a very shy person. I don't like being like, I don't like asking people for stuff. I don't like to bother people, and I don't want to be bothered in some ways, but like, mm-hmm. But it's just like one just has to take that step. Sometimes just like asking people, do you want to do this? Or just going for random events. I realized that for me, I'm just like going I go to any event I feel like I have a remote interest in the thing they're doing, like computing events, African events, food events, you know, different types of things, philosophy events, sociology events. I just like, I might, you know, be a part of whatever conversation they're happening, and people might, you know, like what I have to say. And then, but still, one thing I struggled with is that sometimes I would go to these events, but I wouldn't talk to anyone or even do anything because I felt like shy, or I felt like not being worthy enough to participate. But I guess like more and more as I participate, I realized, you know, people think I am interesting in some ways. People think I have good ideas in some ways. And like, yeah, you know, I think your voice still matters. Whatever you think is shit still counts sometimes, really, because it's like we tend to look down on our own. We are our own biggest critics. And it's like, yeah, you know, there are like certain things where I just want to hold to myself. And then once I say it, and so, you know, suddenly people just like it, and it's like, I didn't know that this was a good idea, a good thought. And So one just has to try and participate. And this is also an advice for myself, really, because this is still an active phase for me. I am, in some ways, beginning to make friends, beginning to try and build community, but it's still hard because I'm very selective, of course, of the kind of community I want to have, the kind of people I like, or stuff like that. So I try to be careful. And so it's just like, you know, me, I believe it's a number of games or something in that sense. It has to do with numbers. You know, the more you do it, the more luck you have, I guess. And so I go to events, I show up, I say yes to most things. So that, you know, I try and just stay in my room because it gets, you know, it gets overwhelming in the room. You just start to lose your mind. Like, damn, this place is so boring. So, you know, take walks, see the city. Even if I'm not hanging out with people, I try to just go out and see what's happening and try to be involved in my local community, like doing volunteer work or participating in things that happen in local communities. Is also a good way to meet people, you know, volunteer, help other people and be present in certain things that are happening in local places. And yeah, it could be a way to meet people and chat and all.
Yeah, that's very, very, you know, nice of you, because I don't know, the only thing you hear is there's this bar, we should go for this party, and I don't really know that I want to go for parties. Like, I want to hang out with, like, queer people. I hope that I just want to have that thing with them. And I also want to talk to people that, even though I just have to listen to them talk, because I do want to, like, talk to people. Like I said, I'd like to already talk to queer people, but online. I want to go to places where I'll see other queer people. Events such as put, like, something in poetry or, you know, philosophy, just ask questions and listen to people talk about these things that I genuinely like to talk about. Movies, for instance, music that people don't listen to, stuff like that. Like, that's what I want to do. I just hope that, again, where I'm going to, I would, because I get all this, to be fair, all these messages and emails, this event is coming up, that event is coming up, there's this launch thing. But I always, like, never want to go, because how do I even start? I go there, and what do I say to these people? How are they going to take me? You know, are they going to be people of color there, or, you know, am I going to fit in? So I kind of wish that I've never really known how to socialize personally. I don't know how to talk to people offline, but I want to try. I really want to try. I don't want to be at home every single time, just, you know, doing nothing really interesting, because there's a lot to explore here in this country. Even when I went on a drive with my friend the other day, just going round and was seeing all these beautiful lights. People are putting out Christmas lights in front of their homes. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And I just loved, you know, driving around, and it was just really fun. So yeah, hopefully I will do that. And I will take what you just said on the advisement, and we'll see where that takes me.
Yeah, by the way, like, you know, when you said the thing you said about, like, going and, but, like, not knowing how to, like, you know, participate, I feel like you could just show up. You know, you don't really need to sometimes participate if you don't feel like, or you don't feel comfortable yet. And with time, you know, like, you probably, it would just maybe come naturally, because I that's how I started. Sometimes I just, you know, would show up but not talk, not participate, and it's just, I become, I'm just looking. I know it's weird, but, like, there's just, like, so much anxiety in speaking up in places I'm not comfortable speaking up in and stuff like that.
So I
don't know if you found any queer spaces you want to explore.
I saw, like, an event where they posted it, but I just didn't go, as usual. But I'm gonna do that now more, and I just want to say that I've not obviously had, it's, my experience here hasn't been the best. I don't know. You know, I wouldn't know how to even talk about that. But I just think I'm trying to start again. And I'm glad that I can start again, you know, to do what I really want to do. And, you know, just see what happens. Because I don't even know where I'm at now, but I think I'm at least heading somewhere. So, yeah. But it's glad, guys, just so you know, Kelvin was, I think, one of those people that made me even decide to come to the US. Because, you know, I knew him, and I think already, were you already on your, you know, trying to, you know, figure this out before we met, or we met? And
no, we met in 2020.
And were you already on this track?
No, I was not even thinking about it yet at the time.
Oh.
I started really doing much of this in the second half of 2021, I think.
Yeah, it was, you know, and then when he came, and then he, you know, I'm glad, because I probably, the idea never even popped up. I think I've always wanted to obviously live here, but I just never knew how, or if it was even possible. I just thought I was going to come here, but then Kelvin sort of made it seem doable, and then I'm here today. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Do you think, like, I guess you schooled in University of Benin in Nigeria. How would you, I guess, is there a comparison or contrast to be made to the education system here?
Oh my God, Kelvin. You can't do that. You can't do that to me, Kelvin. It's so funny. You know what, to be fair, I think because teachers that I have here, they, you know, I took like three courses. One, we were doing coding, which was weird, but yeah. So he comes in and he just has this video. He's already made the lecture thing, and he's just basically reading from whatever, and he's like telling us what to do. So there's really nothing there. It's just what he's, you know. The other one she asks, we read papers, and we come to class, we discuss the papers. And I wouldn't say the teachers are better in any way. I don't know if they're, obviously they're better, but it's how they've structured their classes. It's how they've structured their notes, how they've made it so accessible. Like, you already know what you need to do. You know, every step of the way, they have all these things. Everything is planned out for you. It's how intentional they are, you know. So I'm not saying that they're exceptional people or they are smarter than anybody. You know, my teachers have taught me, I wouldn't say that. But I think they are much more organized in how they put out this, you know, knowledge and information to you. But you're saying in terms of the classes, how it's been set up, and, you know, how people can talk. That's another thing. You can speak to your lecturer. You can have a conversation with your professor and ask questions and make jokes, you know. They're just like normal people. But I also learned that at the end of the year, because I also gave me this, I don't know, is it feedback or what do you call that thing? You have to grade or rate your professor. Did you get that?
Yeah, I usually get that. And like, if I take a class, and then you have to, like, you know, give feedback to the professor of the class.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if that's like why they are the way they are. Do you think that's because they say they take it seriously? Because is that why they're nice?
You know, something, I have an hypothesis for this, like. Yeah, a lot of people who end up being in education here have a strong interest in being educators, you know, because there's just a shit ton of something else. There's like shit ton of other things you can do, you know. It's like, because there's that wide array of any other thing you can do if you don't want to become an educator, it means you don't have to settle to be an educator. But if you look at a place like Nigeria, where some people don't necessarily decisively choose to be educators, it just becomes like, it's just like, this is what is available. This is the opportunity that's available, and so let me take it. And then it's just as though these people do not have the passion for education or to be good mentors or to be good educators. And so they just do a haphazard job sometimes, you know. They don't care if they're impacting knowledge. They don't care if what they're doing is like really And I know this is not a bad mouth area. I've had some really good educators in Nigeria, really good teachers. I'm just saying for some, and why some students suffer in the hands of some educators in Nigeria is just like some of them don't really care. And, you know, number one, they don't care. And number two, there's no system to hold them accountable. You know, somewhere like in the US where like there's a system to hold the professor accountable. If they mess up, you know, there's feedback systems, you know. It means that you, as a student who is paying money, your voice and your money matters. So they want to give you the best service. They don't want to leave you disappointed. It's like a service industry where they give you a service and they want to give you the best of it because you are the customer, you are the paying customer, you matter. So there's a system to hold the educators accountable to make sure that they're doing their jobs. And I find that in Nigeria, there's just not a system for holding educators accountable. You know, it's, you know, a professor can tell you that they would do anything and nobody would say anything. You know, they could do anything they want to do. They could teach the way they want to teach and do the things they want to do. And there's no system for feedback, no system to hold anyone accountable.
Yeah, I think that's obviously very true. I mean, you made a point where you talked about them wanting to do their job, like they want to teach. Because I have one of my teachers here. He likes to teach. He enjoys his job. He told us how much he's being paid. He likes how much, like, it's enough for him. He's living, he said he's very comfortable. You know, he doesn't have to think about a lot of things. And so I do get that. And we could also talk about why the teachers back home are the way they are. I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but we also know how badly paid they are. They're badly paid. They're not obviously being respected. Nobody care about their well-being. So again, that could, you know, that we could argue that that's one of the reasons why they're very nonchalant in how they, you know, just treat students basically. But obviously, by far here, it's obviously way better. Teachers are, you know, better overall. Classes are very conducive. You matter as a student. You could always approach your lecturers for anything at all. No question is a dumb question here. You know, they make you feel special. They make you feel smart. And I don't know. So I would say so far it's been teaching here or schooling here. I mean, it's not easy, clearly. They give you all this homework, all these homeworks and assignments, and you have to turn them in at a particular time. I think that's the most stressful part. It's all these things you have to do to earn.
Sorry for cutting you off, but I must say, I didn't really do a lot of homeworks and assignments in university in Nigeria. It's like we were only just like, okay, for, you know, as aside lab reports, you know, in Nigeria, aside lab reports in Nigeria, it wasn't really based on homework. Although, of course, the large bulk of your, no, I'm not talking about in the US. In the US, there's a lot of homeworks. I'm talking about Nigeria where like you could just go a whole semester, nobody gives you any homework, gives you homework or anything like that. And it's just crazy that they do a lot of homeworks, they do midterms and they do
final exams. A lot here.
Yeah, which
I only did one my entire time in Nigeria, by the way. So
I was talking with a friend yesterday, he's an undergrad, and like, you know, there's just so much opportunity to boost your grade, or like so much opportunities to like accumulate grades or accumulate a good grade in throughout the semester, as opposed to Nigeria where you have maybe like a 30% test evaluation and at the end of the semester you have a 70%
evaluation.
Like, yeah, and like that's like, so if you are not in a good mood that day or something is not too right to you, or you don't have the best, you didn't have the best sleep in that week, then you could probably just like not perform well. So yeah, we, these are like good things that need to be like implemented or changed in certain like Nigerian educational institutions.
There's just a lot of issues back home. And again, when you think of the US, or I don't know, I've not been to another, this is like the first time we've stood up living in Nigeria, so another place. There's just a lot that we need to do as, you know, I'm not saying it's perfect, it's clearly not. But I was just thinking to my, we're talking to my friend the other day, I was thinking, and for me, it's how everyone wants what's best for this country. I don't know, it's like almost as if they're doing what they need to do. They want what's best for America. You know, you're on time, people are very punctual, they're very hardworking, you know, they do what they need to do. I don't know, but back home, it's...
Yeah, it brings me back to my point on, like, accountability. Like, you know, if you don't, you know, of course, if you don't do the things that you're meant to do, there's a system that holds you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a risk in not doing what you have to do. But in, say, if you take a civil servant in Nigeria, you know, they can do an haphazard job, they can do the wrong thing, they can do even wrong criminal behavior, like, they can behave like criminals, and yet the system doesn't hold them accountable. There's no system that holds them accountable. So imagine there was a system that holds people accountable and means that they have to do the right thing. I think that they would, in fact, want to do the right thing because they know that there's a system that holds them accountable, and then there's a risk involved when they deviate from doing the right thing.
Yeah, there's just a lot to fix. But yeah, accountability is very, very important, and hopefully we... I hate it even getting worse, you know, back home. Inflation and all of those things. But anyways. But yeah, so far so good, I guess.
So far so good is a good phrase I liked in a movie called La Haine. It's an old French movie. La Haine, I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, it's a kind of popular word movie. Yeah, an old French movie.
I've not even made time for that. I have to go watch Wicked. I've been seeing that for since it came out. I don't know when I'm going to. I think tomorrow I have to go. I'm not even joking. I need to watch that film before it leaves the cinema. Yeah, did you watch that or did you watch Gladiator or any of those?
I haven't. Like I said, I've been doing more old stuff, old shows, stuff like that.
You go to the cinema here?
Yeah, I've been a couple of times, but not recently.
Oh, okay. I'll see.
Yeah. So what are your plans for the end of the year, the festive period, or I guess next year? I don't know.
I mean, I'm obviously going to another city, and I'm going to spend a couple of weeks with a friend, and from there I'll see what happens. But I'm not going to spend Christmas here. There's really nothing going on here, to be fair. Such a small town. Nobody does anything special here. But yeah, I'm going to go and just... You said you're going to be here, so nothing yet. Nothing else still?
Yeah, I'm going to be in North Carolina, Chapel. I'm going to be in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I don't know if there's anything to do, but I'll figure that out, really. Yeah, it's the festive period is always a very boring period because people usually travel to their homes.
And then travel to their homes. This is home for some people, no?
I mean, for a college town, you mostly have students and grad student families here. So yeah, there are people who are native who live here, who this is their home, but I don't know if they're much, but yeah.
But they're like, but how, most North people, Carolina, is it like a happening place? Would you say that?
You asked if North Carolina was a happy place?
No, happening, like where things happen, you know?
I guess it depends. Like, I used to in Chapel Hill, it's not that, you know, if you, there are restaurants and there are bars, and aside that, not so much If you say, oh, let's go out, then someone's probably talking about a restaurant or a bar, to be honest. But if you go to other towns in North Carolina, like Durham, Raleigh, Charlotte, and, you know, Asheville, there are a lot of places in North Carolina. North Carolina is a very big state, and there are like more places where you could have fun here. But Chapel Hill is a college town, and it's mostly college students and grad students and maybe like faculties and stuff like that.
Okay, that's anyways, fair enough.
Yeah. I wonder if you have... where did you say you were going to? What town did you say you were going to?
I'm going to Dallas, and then from Dallas I'll be going to Houston. So, well, I'll go to Dallas first.
Oh, nice.
And I want to see what Dallas is all about, because everybody that I know from Nigeria moved to the US and they are going to Dallas. So we'll see. Hopefully it makes sense. Cause...
Yeah, that could be fun. That could be fun. I know that there's a lot of Nigerian concentration in Maryland and in Texas. So. I mean, the DMV area and Texas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm supposed to watch a movie with somebody. I don't know when I'll do that. I don't think it's going to be today. I know I've seen it before, but I want to watch it with her again. It's called 2020. No, 2012, sorry. I know you've seen that film. The End of the World. Where they built this massive arc. Did you watch that?
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw that movie a long time ago.
Yeah, I want to watch it again and again. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. So, Tori, do you have any closing thoughts or fun facts for us?
Well, closing thoughts would be, first of all, Kelvin, always nice having you here. Thank you for, you know, bringing me on here. I had a good time. I'll just say something, and it's not even a joke, you know. Always, I know it's a very cliched thing to say, but always do what you like or what you love. It's very, very important, or else you'll just be miserable. No matter how, you know, for me, I'm telling you guys. So that's all I want to say. I'm not going to talk much about that. But yeah, that's where I'm going to leave you at.
Yeah, that's really good advice. One has to do what they feel passionate about really from the inside, because area is just going to be a struggle most times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what thanks.
Tell me any fun facts.
The thing on the top of my head is not a fun fact, but it's something that I was thinking about yesterday night before I slept. It talks to myself in the sense of like, if you feel like you have the ability to build anything or solve any problem, why are you not going for the most important and interesting problems? Why are you searching for low-hanging fruits? That you shouldn't settle for low-hanging fruits. Go for the things that are hard and interesting and important. If you feel in your heart of hearts that you're capable of doing stuff, capable of building anything, capable of doing anything, capable of solving any problem, go for the hard stuff and interesting and stuff that matters. Don't settle for low-hanging fruit. The low-hanging fruit are the things that people solve on their way to solving the big problems.
Very insightful.
Mm.
Very insightful. Thank you so much, Kelvin. It was fun.
Yeah, this was really nice. I hope you have a nice winter break. I hope everybody has a nice holiday season, Christmas, New Year type stuff. Enjoy yourselves and like stay calm, really. One of the things I've learned this year is to sort of relax more. Mm-hmm. You know, relax. Anything that's going to happen will happen. And so, you know, and like, yeah, I do have a very sharp sense of urgency, and I've been trying to tell myself to be more patient, and that, you know, almost anything really can wait sometimes. So, just take it easy and be more kind towards each other. And we do not have an infinite amount of time here. You know, lost two friends this year and it was hard, but you know, and you know, you just realize that, you know, a lot of things don't matter really in the grand scheme of things compared to losing your life. And so, yeah, you just learn to, and I know it's just that thing where someone dies and then people are like, you, then you kind of develop this small moral, you kind of have a small moral reflection and all that, but like still, it's like, yeah, just, you know, try to take it easy, try to enjoy your time here, do good work and be kind to people.
Yeah, that's fair. Thank you so much again, Kelvin.
Yeah, you're welcome. Right. Anytime, Tori. Take care.
Yeah, you too, bye.